Then you were offered a job at ORU,
yeah,
and you took that. Did Oral Roberts recruit you?
Actually, at that time, two people ran the athletic program. It was a little unusual, but Bob Patterson, who's a local businessman here and a former great player at TU, and Dr. Winslow, an orthopedic surgeon, sort of ran the athletic program. They stayed in touch with me. I was doing pretty well in the securities business, and finally, I just gave them about 10 things that I knew they couldn't do if I'd come. And they called me one night and said, "We're good." So I came here, and I had some concerns because Ken Hayes, who's a good man, a good friend, had been fired at Christmas time one year. So I was concerned, and people had said, well, you know, the family gets involved.
That would be both Oral and his son, Richard.
Yeah. So I came here and developed a really good friendship with Oral.
Tell us a little bit about him when you were close with him. How would you describe him?
He would say, "Hey, Ted, can you meet me about 2 o'clock? Let's go play golf." Although he belonged to Southern Hills, he also belonged to the golf club of Oklahoma, and he liked to get out away from things. So we'd go out, and he'd tell me a lot about his ministry. As a matter of fact, when they brought me here to interview with the president, it was interesting. They have enclosed places in the buildings where they drive their cars and so forth. And so the day they brought me in, they flew me in on his private plane. They took us and they drove us inside a building, enclosed area, and out on the campus. We met with him, and I was impressed. His eyes can look right through you, penetrating eyes, and his strong handshake. I told him, I said, "President, I don't know much about your ministry. I'm not charismatic. I have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, but I don't know much about the healing ministry or the charismatic movement." He said, "Ted, you do the coaching, I'll do the preaching." And he said, "If you want to know more about our ministry, we will talk to you anytime about it." And he's very fair, and he always held up to that. Quite frankly, I had a great fondness for him. He and I made some golf trips together. He had dropped by every once in a while, and contrary to what people had said, he did not interfere. He himself did not. When I came here, it was a bad time to come here. They had been about a 50-50 season the year before, and they'd lost all their starters. So I told them, I said, "It's going to be 3 years before we can give you the kind of team that you want. People are going to have to bear with it." So the first year, we'd play the good teams, the really good teams, and we'd lose 10 to 15 points. Second year, our record wasn't much better. It was a little better, but we're playing the good teams 2- and 3-point games. And finally, Tulsa, who had beaten us 13 straight times, we beat that year in the Mayor's Cup. So we were getting it turned around, and I had a player named Haywood Workman, who went on to become an 11-year NBA player, that was kind of the nucleus of the team. And I had redshirted about 4 Proposition 48. Let me explain that. Years ago, the NCAA did not have anything to do with who's eligible. They left that up to the conferences. If you're an independent, they just left it up to each school. So you could determine who got in school or not if you're an independent. That's why so many people wanted to be independent. Syracuse, Marquette, Notre Dame, all those schools like being independent. It was easier to get in the NCAA tournament. You see, back then you had to win your conference to get in the tournament. And now, as you know, there'd be 8 or 9 teams out of a conference get in. Anyway, I had redshirted 4 guys who could play and had Haywood. And then, unfortunately, they tried to get me to hire an assistant, and I refused. And basically, Richard said, "If you don't do what the family does, you don't stay here." You know, and I just said, "I'm not going to do something for the program that I know is not in the best interest of the program."
They wanted you to hire an assistant.
Yeah, they wanted to fire one of my assistants and force me to hire.
Okay.
Yeah.
Who was the assistant they wanted you to hire?
It was Coach Trickey. Ken and I were great friends, but we were as far apart in basketball philosophy as you could be. I wanted the program run the way that I wanted, and I just finally said, "Look, if you don't want me here, just settle my contract." It was sad because we were on the verge of being really good.
Yeah. And I think Richard wanted you to score 100 points.
Yeah. I told him at the time, I said, Richard, I'd rather win a game 72-64 than to score 100 points and lose a game. And I said, quite frankly, we don't have the kind of scorers right now that we can go up and down and, you know, get into a shooting match with people. We have to do it defense and with selective shooting and so forth. Anyway, it was sad because I think we could have had a good run here and it would have been good. But having said that, I love the people at Oral Roberts, the faculty and the supporters, all great people. And I have a great relationship today with them. Mike Carter's a great friend and Scott Sutton's a wonderful person.
So this was in the 70s.
Yeah.
I came in 76, and then I remember then, and Anthony Roberts was the star of that team.
Yeah.
Coach Trickey brought him on, didn't he?
Yeah. It's pretty remarkable what they did. When they went into Division I in early 70s, Ken called one day and said, can we bring our staff and come up and visit with you so we can do some things that we need to be a successful Division I program? They came up and spent a couple of days with us.
He came from where?
Here, Oral Roberts. I was at Kansas.
Oh, I see, in Kansas.
I was at Kansas.
Okay.